passion is what we're talking about today. It's a strong, almost unbearable, uncontrollable emotion caused through the power of the Holy Spirit. As I ask the deacons and ushers to come forward, our offering scripture today will come out of Acts chapter 1. All the Spirit-filled people will know what I'm talking about today, so say amen. Just here's what it is. Acts chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the first book, O Theophilus, Dr. Luke writes a book to his friend Theophilus, Roman centurion, may not be from the same neighborhood, may not be from the same type of family, maybe not even have the same skin color, but he's a friend. Say friend. If you got a friend and you love them very much, you want them to know the things that you know about Jesus, so you share it with them. He wrote a book about it. He said, oh, Theophilus, and maybe you preach like that to your kids or to your wife or to your friends. You say, oh, John or oh, Judy, oh, we want you to know about God. That's what he's doing here. Say it with me, class. He's passionate. He's passionate about taking this message to his friend. You can't let anybody stop you from taking the message to your friends. Hello, church. Verse 2 says, and until the day he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles from whom he had chosen, he presented himself alive and appearing to them. After suffering by many proofs appearing during those 40 days, speaking about the kingdom of God, and while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Somebody talk back to me. Baptized in the Holy Ghost, fully involved, fully submersed in God's love and in God's presence and in God's grace and in God's goodness, baptized with the whole thing, shouting, wearing the jewelry, got the bumper stickers, been there, done it, telling the world about it because I'm passionate about God. Amen. Everywhere I go, can't shut me up. All right. Well, verse 6 says, so when they came together, they asked him, Lord, will you restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times. Boy, we all want to, though, don't we? Let's play. Hold on for a second. Let's play God for just a second. Well, you don't want me to do it, but I'm just saying. Hey, God, here's the deal. I know you've seen the whole movie. You've seen the whole parade from the start to the finish. Could you show me the whole movie so, like, I'll know, BC, what's going to, like, be at the end? Look at me real close, camera. Here's the deal. You can't handle the whole movie. Hey, listen to me for a second. You can't handle the whole movie. That's why you don't get it. You have a hard time getting out of bed, let alone knowing the whole movie. Just say, oh, me. Oh, you don't want the whole movie. You get frame by frame. You get just what you can digest. And let's be honest, right now in this climate, things can be a little tough every once in a while. So you get in another frame after, you know, you don't need that much. And Pastor Pat don't need it either. My head would fix it to explode right here in front of you. I don't need that much information. But what I'm trying to get to here, class, is Acts chapter 1:8. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Amen. I'm talking about wonder-working. I'm talking about wonder-working power. My uncle told me that before I got saved. He said, when God gets in your life and you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, he said, you will have wonder-working power that will just absolutely amaze you. It will keep you hungry. It will keep you thirsty. And the only thing that can quench that spirit is another dose of the Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. You can shout for just a second. Hold on for a second. I'll drink to that. Yeah, it's coffee, so.
It's okay, toasty.
Let me get to this, and then we'll. This is passion. It's passion. Y'all are coming to church. just because you want to be here. Isn't that feel good? You're like, you know what, I'm going to church. And there's other cats that are like, man, why don't you just not go? And you're like, you know what, I'm going today. I feel like God. Here, let me say this to you. I'm ahead of myself. If I didn't think God was going to do something really extra special in this service, I wouldn't come today. I believe something today is going to be different than it was last week. I'm not going to keep preaching the same thing over and over again. What I'm going to tell you is something new and fresh, and it comes straight from the mouth of God. Here's what he says. He says, when the day of Pentecost arrived in chapter 2, they were all together in one place, kind of like this. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house they were sitting, and divided tongues of fire appeared on them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, hold on, Terry. Hold on. You're telling me that God can give me a heavenly language? Let me tell you something. God can do more things on a flat surface than your mind could ever can just even comprehend. Watch this. So, let me pick up into verse 17, and I'll ask you to rise. I'm only going to read a couple verses, then we'll get into the message. This is stuff you won't have to pay for. Go ahead and rise up. So here's what he says, and actually what he's repeating here, what Dr. Luke is repeating here, I didn't tell this in the last service, was Joel chapter 2. It's a prophecy. Listen to this, Terry. He says, in the last days, 2:17, we're in the last days. Look at me for a second, kids. People are burning down buildings, riding in the street, fighting amongst each other, acting like a fool. You know that we're living in the last days when things like that go down, because it doesn't make sense to people that got gray hair.
Amen.
I will pour out my spirit on all the flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men shall see vision, and your old men shall dream dreams, even on the male servant, female servant. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heavens and above, and the sign of the earth below, blood and fire and vapor and smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord that comes, the great and magnificent day. Verse 21 says, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And his people said, amen. Call on his name. His name. It's not by acts of works or religion. It's all who call on the name of the Lord. Let's pray for the offering. That's just the offering. Some of you visitors are like, man, I'm coming back to this church. That guy's crazy. We're going to get into the message. It's going to spin your pumpkin. Watch this. Father God, we just pray in the name of Jesus for the offering today, that it would be blessed for your work, that your hands would touch, and those would be blessed who give it. In thy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So applaud the Lord, let the offering be picked up, and let you be blessed in the Lord. So turn with me into Philippians chapter 3, and I was going to try to calm down a little bit, but I don't think I can. So can I tell you an experience that I had? Debbie, I got to tell you this. I was driving over the St. Charles Bridge. And let's be honest, that's an experience in itself right now. I mean, you find yourself praying a little more. Try to get across it with a horse trailer sometime. Well, anyways, I'm coming across the St. Charles. I'm just telling you, Gary, it's real stuff. I had a Holy Ghost encounter. God said, I got you. And I don't know why he said that. But he said, I got you. He said, I know what you're getting ready to do. He said, you're getting ready to preach a message that everybody needs to hear. Yes. And it was almost, and you haven't heard me say this from the pulpit, Carol, probably more than two or three times. It's happened to me. I was out of body experience. Yes. Looking at myself driving the truck. This is that kind of power on this message. I only remember that ever happening two times where I was actually on the pulpit and I actually could see myself preaching. That's going to be this kind of message. So if it blows your hair back, just get ready. Take notes, because it's going. I call this a wild weekend. It's a wild weekend. You come on the right day, it's going to get a little wild in here. Or in the cowboy world, they say it's fixing to get Western here. It's going to get Western. Ready? Here we go. Here it is, Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write you the same thing to you is to no trouble to me, as safe for you. Look out for the dogs. In the Bible, he's talking about looking out for the dogs. These are the animals that combed the streets. They weren't thought of so highly like they are now. Dogs now are part of people's families. They do all kinds of... Let me do a sidebar here. Nobody owns as many animals as we do, so don't send me any letters like I don't love my dog. Don't do that. We'll just have you visit our house and you go, oh, these guys are freaky about animals. I don't understand doggy daycare. I don't understand it. I think it's a good business to get in, but I don't understand it because I don't know what happens at doggy daycare that can't happen at my house. And then doggy takeout. Pay extra to have doggy walked. And then doggy TV. We'll turn on the TV for him. You know what I was thinking about? That's where I'll go. I wasn't really thinking that. I just thought it'd be funny, so I said that thing. He's not talking about those kind of dogs. He's talking about the people who are very vicious and ferocious. Dogs, he said, he calls them, he's going to expound here. He said, they're mutilators of flesh. He said, what they want to do, he said, they're evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh. And back then, circumcision was the form, or like the New Testament baptism. So baptism, we baptize people in water to show that they're followers of Jesus. Back then, followers of God were circumcised. Amen from the church. So he takes us a step further. Mike, he says, for we are the circumcision who worship God by what? By the Spirit of God. He said, we're circumcised. He goes, that means our flesh has been cut back and God has done spiritual heart surgery in our lives. Only he can do that. What he does is he cuts back that old crusty heart. And close your eyes for just a second, because you remember how calloused you were and how rough and how ignorant you were to the Word of God, and you thought that was the way of life. Woo, I'm really having fun here. Man, I got to tell you something. I'm having a lot of fun right now. God says, man, I got to do heart surgery on you. He goes, man, you are really, I don't want to look at anybody. I'll look at myself. You're really messed up. So he cuts through and he does surgery. And he puts in, watch this, and then he puts in a new heart. Amen. Oh, that beats like his. Oh, hold on for a second. Heart surgery, so your heart and your heart and your heart all beats like Jesus' heart. Amen. What makes him upset makes you upset and all that stuff. And all your family members who have gone off into heaven already know this stuff. And they're your cheerleaders today. They want you to know that all this Bible and all the church service and all this thing that's going on is for you right now, because you won't need all this stuff in heaven. You'll be right in the face of glory and God right there. Your family members want you to know this stuff. I mean, don't we pray that prayer, that passionate prayer, on earth as it is in heaven? Oh, hold on for a second. I mean, because that's how Jesus told us to pray. Yeah. Let me tell you something. Sometimes I feel like I wouldn't even know what it was like to pray that prayer and actually receive it. So I need to start believing in that right now, along with you. On earth, let's raise our hand. On earth as it is in heaven. On earth. In your life. I'm passionate. So what they do in heaven is they sing to Jesus all day long and they walk on streets of gold. They're walking on commerce. That's passion. And that's what he wants us to do right now. Listen to this. He says, for we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh. Also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Now listen, he's going to give his resume. And I like the resume part because I think sometimes we're driven by our plastic trophies and our certificates that are on our wall in the office. Accolades. Do you remember the Letterman's jacket? Oh, yeah, you better take a look at it. And when you were going steady with somebody, they wore your jacket. Hold it, class. We wore it like a badge of honor. It had all the things that we accomplished. You get the letter and all the kind of things. The Apostle Paul has that because he was the persecutor of the church. See, there's passion. There's good passion and there's bad passion. The devil's passionate about his work, and the devil's passionate about worming his way into your family's life. He's passionate about that. Watch this. He works 24/7 and doesn't just come in on Sunday. He's trying to mess with you the other 6 days of your life. Hold on for a second now. He said, I'm from the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as the law of Pharisees, as zeal, persecutor of the church, as righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever I gained, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything, say it with me, everything, as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss, and all things I count them as rubbish. If you're reading King James, it would say dung, which means doogie. Yeah. Or cow patty. Say it with me, cow patty. All the stuff that the Apostle Paul did, all the work, and sometimes we, and this is why we're in the shoes that we're in right now. We have elevated Hollywood movie stars, professional athletes, and all these people they got all these accolades and all this money. So what? If they're not born again, they're not going to be with you in heaven. We need to tell them about the love of Jesus Christ today. And so he was passionate about persecuting the church. He said, I count all that stuff is rubbish, or King James Version would talk about manure, if you will. He says, in order that I may gain Christ. Now listen to this. This is something that's very powerful. It says in verse 9, he says, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own. He said, so there's no way. He said, I realize that this righteousness doesn't come from me and my works and all my accolades. He says, or it comes from the law, but that comes through faith in Christ. Say that with me. Faith in Christ. So it's our faith in Christ that makes us righteous when we believe upon the redemptive work. And he says, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Verse 10 could be the most important verse out of the whole sermon. And I want you to meditate on this and put an asterisk by it. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. Oh, hold on for a second now. Now I'm really starting to feel like I need to visit with God more. The Apostle Paul, writing this letter, the greatest man to ever put pen to paper, writes 13 books in the New Testament, and he says, I desire to know Jesus more. Oh, me. I kind of categorize that the same with when Billy Graham says, when they interviewed Billy Graham, he says, I wish I would have prayed more. Wow. Just say, oh my. So if Billy Graham's telling you that he needs to pray more, and if you have the Apostle Paul saying, I want to know more about Jesus Christ and the death and his resurrection, I would like to know him more intimately, I got a lot of work to do. I got a lot of work to do. I need to get on fire for the Lord. Listen to this. He says, and in this, we were talking about this in the book of Acts. He says we can share in the power of his resurrection. Let me explain this just for a second. So just Jesus dying on the cross didn't fulfill prophecy. He had to raise himself from the dead 3 days later. Because there was a lot of people killed on the cross, but he's the only one who could raise himself from the dead 3 days later. Amen? Amen. Now, I want to ask you to do something with me for this very last verse, and then we're going to go into the Lord's Supper, and I want to get into this Lord's Supper because it's going to be something very special. So let's kind of set this up. We'll set the stage early. We'll have the praise team come forward. We'll have the deacons and the pastors come forward and the seniors that are going to participate in the Lord's Supper. And I want you to listen to this. And they'll just kind of be sitting up here. And after this altar call, we're going to do the Lord's Supper. It's going to be kind of like a separate part of this service. It's going to be very special. So be ready for this and expect God to do something very powerful. So rise with me, everybody in the sanctuary, even those who are at home. So here's the last verse. Verse 11 says this. He says that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Now, let me tell you what that means in my life. And I'll ask Miss Carol to start playing a little music here for just a second. Just bring the house lights down just a little bit, if you would, so we can kind of set the mood. And I want to talk about any means possible. I remember when I first started coming to the Lord, and I remember what a struggle it was for me and my family. Every Sunday, it was the same thing. I was passionate about Jesus, but it was so hard, Pastor Jay, to get to church. It was very hard. Very hard. We had a lot of things going on. My life was a wreck, and the devil worked hard at making sure if he couldn't have my soul and the salvation, he wanted to make sure that he wrecked my effectiveness and my witness for God. Can anybody relate to that? Because I'm going to be honest with you. Let's be honest with you. There's every excuse in the world not to come to church today. We all got it, you know, and I told you before, you know, we all kind of question what's going on and what really is going on in our world today, and a lot of crazy things going on. And you fill in the blank there for your life. It was a fight, first of all, to get to church. Get to church. So we made up our mind that we were going regardless. Here's the deal. I don't care if you fight all the way to church. That's going to happen. I can tell you that. If there's a mom and dad and a couple of little kids in the car, somebody's going to fight. And if we're not going to fight about what happened that morning, we're going to fight about something that happened last year. The devil's going to make sure that comes up. Or they're going to do the flat tire. Gas is a good one, and we ain't got any money to put in a gas tank. And I would be able to blow dry my hair if the electric was still on. Come on, don't look around. He wants to make sure that the deck is stacked against you. So here's what we started doing. I started leaving real early, not like 15 minutes early, one of them things. If Jesus, Carol, watch this. If Jesus really is everything in my life, I'm going to make sure I get there. What did he say? By any means possible. I'm going to be on the phone with somebody. And if somebody calls you to pick them up for church, let's work on that schedule. Amen? I think about my buddy. I don't know if you guys all know that Jerry Lippe passed away. Me and my wife used to pick him up. I'm glad I picked up Jerry. In the car, big old Jerry in the front seat with me, riding to church by any means possible. I think if we're really passionate about Jesus, we'll show it in the way we attend church or talk with one another or pray. by any means possible, I'm going to show the love of Jesus to my fellow brother, regardless of what they like, look like or where they come from. Here's the deal. We need to get over ourselves. Do you see the shirt I got on? Get over it. Hey, listen to me. I ain't weighed down with all that. Because I love everybody, so you don't have to worry if Pastor Pat's tripping on anybody. That ain't part of my deal. I don't trip on people. People are people to me. I don't care where they come from. I love them all. And I love them no matter what, how they talk about me and my family. We have to do that by any means possible. And not because I'm a pastor, because I'm a Christian. So I'm going to ask you a question, just right where you're at. I'm not even going to ask anybody that. If you need to come forward, obviously come forward, but don't feel compelled to. How would you like to show God how passionate you are about his son Jesus today? Pastor Jay, wouldn't that be great? Just to, like the days when people would, when church was really a priority, where they would get there regardless. If that's you, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to raise your hand right now and just say, I want to be more passionate about the Lord. I want to have the ripple effect. That's what the cover of your bulletin is. Take that with you and put it on your refrigerator. I just want to be more passionate about the Lord. I want to have the ripple effect. And I'm going to pray for you right where you're at. Man, you ought to see the hands up in the sanctuary. I mean, let's think about it for just a second, Mike. We was passionate about the things we was passionate about when we was a heathen. You remember what you was all passionate about, all whatever? Mr. and Mrs. Thang. Let me pray for you right now. Father God, I'm looking at some brothers and sisters that are ready to get, they're ready to get straight with you. Passionate, I said. Tell them, say, I want to get passionate about you, God. Tell him, I want to get passionate about you. I want to get on fire for you. Here's the deal. You ain't got to worry about what anybody's thinking about anymore. You're too old for that now. You're grown up. You're an adult. I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I'm in love with the Savior of the world. I just messed the devil up. Hey, tell him, I'm in love with the Savior of the world. Woo! That's passion.
Holy Ghost.
Say it again, I'm passionate about God. Just passionate about God today in this service. It ain't like any other service. This is a different one. This is like I'm passionate, right? Passionate. Passionate about God. I'm leaving everything out. Nothing can interfere with your worship with God today. All right, then I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you this question with your eyes closed. Same where you're at. Don't even move. Watch this. Watch this. Have you received the free gift of salvation that only comes from Jesus? Would you like to be saved? Would you like to be born again? You heard Pastor Bevo say, it feels like I'm born again. And you might ask Pastor Bevo, what does that feel like? Oh, man, it's a great feeling. You remember, class, when you was born again? You gave your life to Jesus. You put your trust in it. Would you like to be free? Would you like to be saved right now, right where you're at? Ask God into your life. Ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Raise your hand right where you're at. I want to pray for you. Right there with that hand raised. Right there. I want to be saved right there. I want to be free. I want to give my life to Jesus today. I want him to be my Lord of my life. And if he already is the Lord of my life, I want to rededicate. Lord, I want to rededicate my life to Jesus today. I'm running the devil over today at this service. We're mowing over the devil. He ain't got no rap in this church. Thank you, Jesus.